Welcome back in everyone to a fabulous new Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper. We are joined by two amazing artists today. Joining us, we have the co-director of the mentorship program with Maestro Music, Sonia Hayden, as well as the Grammy Award-winning trumpet player and a mentor with this organization, Yael Cohen. They're here to talk to us about Maestro Music's presentation of Amplify 2024. Happening March 25th at Sony Hall, and you can get your tickets and more information by visiting maestromusic.org/amplify. This is a wonderful organization that we are excited to be sharing with you, with all the work they do and all the inspiration that they pass on to these wonderful young artists. So with that, I would like to welcome Sonia and Yael. Welcome to Whisper in the Wings from Stage Whisper.
So happy to be here. Thanks so much for having us.
Thank you.
I am so excited to have the two of you here and to be talking about this great organization. I'm so glad that it's popped up on our radar because the work you're doing is just amazing. So Sonia, why don't I start with you first? Can you tell us a little bit about Maestro and what it is?
Sure. So Maestro is a wonderful nonprofit organization that provides support, visibility, and community to women and non-binary folks who make the music in the musical theater industry. So that means that our membership is comprised of everyone from composers to music directors, orchestrators, arrangers, copyists, rehearsal pianists, all kinds of other musicians, et cetera, who are an underrepresented minority in musical theater.
That is amazing. I would love to jump to you, Yael, and I'm curious to know, you know, you're one of the mentors in this organization. How did you come upon Maestro?
Great question. Well, interestingly enough, I think one of my lows in my musical career led me to Maestro. I was on tour straight out of college, didn't get a music degree, and I had this national tour take a chance on me, and I was so excited and in a different city each week for a year. And it was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to kind of bring back music, this first wave post-COVID, to people all across America. But it was also a really, really tumultuous year, feeling very isolated, dealt with like quite a bit of like sexual harassment in the pit. And there was kind of one day that I reached a bit of a breaking point, and one of my friends in the pit told me about Maestro, being like, hey, have you heard about this? Like, I, as a straight white man, probably can't offer the support that you need, but this organization might be able to offer that support and that community. And that day, I just felt a light and a fire lit underneath me, and I created a profile that night. Surely enough, a few months later, they had a posting for an internship position. I applied, spilled my guts to Georgia Stitt, and I got the internship opportunity and ended up staying for about a year working in programming and DEI, in education, being a part of the steering committee that led to the Rise Theater Directory, and also being a mentee in the mentorship program my first year. And it was paired with a wonderful female trumpet player called Rebecca Steinberg. And she was just so wonderful. And there are so few of us female trumpet players out there. It's about a 97% to 3% male to female split. So just having someone to talk to and confide in and having that support, that overarching support for Maestro was so huge. And then now, I guess a year later, being out in the real world and going back to gigging quite a bit and kind of healing that relationship with music, I thought it was really important for me to kind of pay it back, be a mentor. And it's just been a really rewarding kind of full circle moment. And I think there's just so much to learn from being a mentor. And there's something so fulfilling about this Maestro community of like being uplifted while lifting others. So yeah, it's been a wonderful about 2 year journey with Maestro, from finding out about it to being involved in multiple ways.
That's so wonderful. I love that. Sonia, I want to come back to you and I want to build on what you've kind of told us, and as well as what Yael's mentioned. You're the co-director of mentorship program. Can you tell us a little bit more about what exactly you all do? How do you find these amazing young artists, et cetera?
Absolutely. Yeah. So the mentorship program, So we're a 6-month partnering program, and our goal is to connect early career mentees, noting that early career could mean of any age, though for us over 18, but anywhere after that, who are interested in pursuing a professional career on the music side of musical theater. And we pair them with professionals currently working in their field, and it's a free program. And we try all kinds of ways to find people. We certainly would recommend signing up for our newsletter if you're interested in the program. If you would like to be notified directly when the next round of applications comes out in the fall, you can email us at mentorship@maestromusic.org. I'll also just say I started out, like Yael, started out as a mentee in the first year of Maestro's mentorship program. And I also had an equally incredible experience in that program. I had an amazing mentor named Mary Mitchell Campbell. And after that, I was just so inspired by what Maestro was doing that I joined Maestro's education committee and began assisting with this program. And then the wonderful Meg Zervoulis, who was instrumental in creating this program, very generously invited me to co-direct the program with her. And I really think that kind of type of openness to collaboration and generosity and support really says something about the ethos of Maestra. And it's a program I'm really proud of. Megan and I are both really proud of. Currently have 65 mentor-mentee pairings. We get so many applications that are incredible every year, and it's always so hard to narrow it down. And we want to support as many people as we can. And we also really try anytime we can, even with people that we just weren't able to pair that particular year, if we see that there are other opportunities that we could include them on, something they mentioned in their application that they were interested in learning about, and we're offering something related to that, we will still try to reach out to those people and invite them to join in, because it really is meant to be as inclusive as possible. And we want everyone to have the opportunity to build skills and be part of this industry. So, yeah.
That is amazing. Absolutely amazing. Kudos to all of you who are working there. That's incredible. Yael, coming back to you, I would love to know, after telling your story about how you came to Maestro and the experiences you've had in the music industry as a whole, where do you want to see women and non-binary musicians like yourself in 5 years?
Yeah, it's kind of the million-dollar question. I think there's been so much progress, and I think just continuing to ride that wave of fighting towards more and more of an equal gender split, for more and more representation in terms of like instrumentalists, the people you see on stage, the creators. I think just like continuing to fight that good fight is so important. And there's been so much progress, and there's still so much more progress to do. I can't remember. I was watching the Grammys last week, and maybe it'll come back to me who said it, but one of the artists who won was just talking about the importance of not seeing other people, and specifically other women, as like competitors. I think that really stuck with me. And she was just preaching for more collaboration. And I've been thinking about that. We need more collaboration and less competition. And we just need to keep lifting each other up. And I just feel like that's really huge. And I guess not to like plug the Grammy Award winning project I was on a year ago, but it kind of relates. Our project was highlighting work, like new premieres and works by strictly like Black female composers, which are so few and far between. And it was such a wonderful opportunity to kind of highlight these works, bring them into the zeitgeist. Yeah, it was a very collaborative moment. And it was also a youth symphony. And we were the first ever youth symphony to be nominated and then win. And I just feel like people want to see that like fresh energy, the joy, works that they haven't necessarily been exposed to before. So I feel like just being a part of more and more of these projects, and then, you know, on the large scale, like people funding these projects and being excited by them. And I guess where I hope to see things continue to go in that direction.
Yeah, I was just going to jump in and say, I really love everything you were saying too about moving away from the scarcity mindset and the competitive mindset, and thinking about how in this industry we can actually work to collaborate with each other and to uplift others, and to think about who we're, you know, opening up the door for when we're in the position to recommend people for positions that are opening up on musical theater projects, or we are ourselves in the position of hiring folks. I'll also just mention that Maestra Music has a wonderful directory on their website of many different women and non-binary folks who are working in various ways in the musical theater industry and are available for hire. So if you are feeling like you don't know, you know, enough people, or you want to, you know, expand your network or hire more people, I would absolutely recommend checking out the directory. And there's also, I'll say, another wonderful organization called Muse, which aims to cultivate more racial equity in theatrical music departments. And they also have a similar directory of people that you could go hire on their website, which I believe is museonline.org.
That is fabulous. Fabulous information. I want to turn a little bit to this event coming up, Amplify 2024, happening on March 25th at Sony Hall. I want to start with you, Sonia, and I want to know, you know, is there a message or a thought that you're hoping that participants will take away from this event?
Yeah, so Amplify, for those who might not know, is an annual spring concert that Maestro produces and a fundraising event for this wonderful organization. And it's really just, it's a celebration of maestras in musical theater, ranging from, you know, legendary maestras to emerging talents out there. And it's always a blast. You can get to know the work of some new folks. You can, you know, listen to some of your favorite songs that you may or may not have known were written by amazing women and non-binary folks out there. And it's also just a great way to come out and support this organization and learn more about what we're doing.
Love that. Love that. And yeah, I want to ask you kind of the same question in a way, because you were a mentor with this organization. Is there a message or a thought that you're hoping participants with Maestra take away from this?
I think as someone who was in their shoes not too long ago, I think just knowing that there is an organization that wants to welcome you in and support you and give you the resources that you need and the visibility that you need. And yeah, it's just such a loving community. And yeah, I've gently encouraged so many people to join. I just think that there are so many opportunities and so many ways to get involved, and there's so much to gain. And I just think, you know, strong female friendships and connections are just so powerful. And I think just being linked to this incredible group and everyone that I even worked with for the past year, I like consider like mentors and kind of ongoing relationships. I'm super grateful to my own experience. And I just think that there's always room for more and more people who want to break into the space who are women and non-binary people. And I think Maestro makes it clear and opens and welcomes you with open arms.
That's a wonderful idea. Love that. I've got two last questions for this first part of the interview. And I want to start first with you, Yael, on this one. What can other people do to change the industry?
I think it relates to the question of where I want to see the industry in 5 years. It's been interesting, I guess, being a few years out of college, going on tour, working at Maestra, dabbling a bit in the arts nonprofit sector. And yeah, I think in the real world, I think just living in a capitalistic society, learning about the business, I think our power as consumers looms pretty large. And I think it all ties back together to just putting your money where your mouth is. And if you want to see more diverse projects and kind of new faces represented, I think just like funding those projects, going to see new works, all of that, I think you can do that as a funder, as a patron. Yeah, I think donating and being involved in organizations like Maestra, like Muse, I think there's like a lot of space to lead with action and with your wallet. So and I think it doesn't even necessarily have to be with your wallet. It can also be with your time and your intentions, even like podcasts like this, like raising like awareness and granting like platforms. I think there's like so much we can do, but I think it requires action.
Absolutely. Yes.
Did you want to add something to that, Sonia?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, like we said before too, if you are within the industry, just bringing awareness and thought to who you're opening the door for when you're hiring or recommending people for jobs, and actively working to expand your network. So much of this industry, for better or worse, is about network and connections. A lot of jobs people get hired for because somebody just recommended them, not because there was an open call necessarily or an easy audition to get into. So that sort of being aware of who you're recommending and who is in your network and how that's functioning, I think is so important. And as Yael a little bit touched on as well, we so also appreciate our male allies out there who want to support this work too. We really, really value that and appreciate that as well. So while Maestra itself, you know, the membership is focused on women and non-binary folks and supporting them, we also really recognize that this in a broader way is about all of us coming together to decide that this is something we value, right? We value diversity in our industry. We value inclusion of many perspectives and backgrounds and ideas and types of people. And so we all want to work together to make space for that and make that happen.
I love that. Yes. My last question for this first part of the interview, I'm going to ask the both of you. And that is, who do you hope have access to both Maestro Music itself and to the upcoming event Amplify 2024? And Sonia, I'm going to start with you first on that.
We hope has access to Maestra. So yeah, Maestra, as you said, is an organization that really welcomes anyone who identifies as female or non-binary and is working on the music side of the musical theater industry. So we really also are trying to build our networks in terms of getting the word out as many different, you know, places and communities as possible that this organization exists and that we want to provide that support and community. So we also have, I'll say, like regional groups across the US and now across the world. So that's very exciting as well. You can also, if you are outside of New York, we are also very welcoming of you and want you to be part of this organization. So you can find out more information about that on our website as well. And in terms of Amplify, yes, anyone who is excited about the type of work we're doing and the change we're trying to make in the industry, we hope will come out to support. The concert is held in person this year in New York City. So we recognize that, you know, limits it perhaps to people in this area. But if you are not in the area and would still like to support, again, go to our website. And, you know, as we were saying, you can financially support the wonderful work we're doing very easily by making a donation. We are a nonprofit organization and that means so much. So yeah.
Beautiful answer. Beautiful. Yael, what about you? Who do you hope have access to both Maestra Music and to the Amplify 2024 event?
Yeah, I guess just piggybacking off of Sonia a little bit, totally. The global presence, I feel like, is huge. I think something else that Maestra is cultivating, which is amazing, is quite a few affinity groups. So we have a group for music directors specifically, a group for moms, an LGBTQIA group. And I just think like having, again, coming with open arms, accepting people from all over the world, kind of cultivating that community, having specific groups for people with different kind of like situations and dispositions, I feel like is huge. So I feel like it's, as Sonia said, it's really welcome to all. And again, plugging the importance of allyship. I think we were trying to workshop a year ago how we wanted to call our male allies. And I think we were plugging or toying with the idea of Maestra Ally. It doesn't roll off the tongue super well, but yeah, truly okay. Like Maestra all
adjacent,
are welcome.
Yeah.
Maestra adjacent. Yeah. But I think it's,
Maestra
I think.
Maestra Network.
Right. But I think Amplify in general is just such a celebration and is really welcome for all. And the vibes are amazing. It's really such a party. The performances are great. And it just gives more and more incredible, badass female non-binary musicians a chance to just absolutely shine. So we hope to see people from all creeds there just celebrating with us.
I want to switch things up now as we head into the second part of our interview. And I want to start by asking the two of you, what or who inspires you? What playwrights, composers, or shows have inspired you in the past, or just some of your favorites? And Sonia, can I start with you on that?
Sure. So outside of being the co-director of Maestra's mentorship program, I'm also a composer, lyricist, librettist, and playwright. There are many people who inspire me. Somebody who immediately came to mind is Lynn Ahrens. I love the show Ragtime. There was recently a concert actually at Carnegie Hall of some of Stephen Flaherty's work, and there were Ragtime songs included, and I just went, oh my gosh, I love this show so much. It's so beautiful. You know, anything by Sondheim. I was such a Sondheim kid. I know it's the classic response, but I love his shows. Anything he and his collaborators were working on, I loved as a kid. It's what made me fall in love with musical theater. I mean, Janine Tesori, of course, Rona Siddiqui. There are so many amazing people out there. I mean, in playwriting, Bess Wohl is amazing. Martin McDonough. There are so many inspiring folks out there making wonderful, wonderful work.
A beautiful list. Absolutely beautiful. Love that. Yaya, how about you? What or who inspires you?
Yeah, so it's kind of funny. I think after being on a national tour and playing the same show 8 times a week for a year, you know, I had a show about 252 times under my belt. And there was a while where I was just like, so over seeing shows. I think it was really like seeing how the sausage gets made a little too much. And I think I would watch shows and just kind of be thinking about like what's going on backstage or in the pit and just not feeling so inspired. And then I saw the production of Into the Woods from about a year ago. And it felt like being a kid on Space Mountain at Disneyland, like about to ride it for the first time. And I really didn't know the show at all. And I was just in for such a treat. And I was so inspired and so uplifted. And it's just a show where you laugh and cry. And it took so many twists and turns. And it was just such a joy, not really knowing the adventure I was about to embark on. So that kind of like really catapulted this like healing journey where I'm like, oh, I love musical theater. And it's just such a great reminder of that. So I think especially with Sondheim's passing, there are so many of his shows out right now. I'm actually playing a run of Anyone Can Whistle right now. And that also is just like, there's so much joy and silliness. And I think Sondheim is such a master at harnessing that. And then also recently I saw Merrily We Roll Along. And I think that was my favorite show I've ever seen. It was just so artfully done. And also just in a completely different setting, of course, but somehow strikes that perfect balance of just hope and tragedy and chaos. And I think it's just so sublime.
Absolutely. I loved that production as well.
Yeah, I was going to say, another great list. And what a wonderful production Merrily has been. It's so good. I'd love to know now, what is your favorite part about working in the performing arts? And Yael, I'm going to stick with you first on that.
I think for me, I love the experiences and the travel and the people that just being a musician has brought to me. Yeah, I think trumpet has been my greatest guide in life. It's just led me to like everyone I love, to travel all over the world, be on incredible projects. It's really led to like such an interesting and chaotic and fun life. I think in terms of like the actual day-to-day, right now I'm in this, putting together this run of Anyone Can Whistle. And I've just fallen in love again with the process of putting together a show. I love rehearsing. I love sight reading. I love getting to know the pit and forging that camaraderie. Yesterday we had Sitz Probe, and I was just telling Sonia before we started, like that energy when all the actors come in the room and they're just, you know, the theater kid energy is just so vibrant. And so I just love putting things together. And I think that's the most exciting time for me. Yeah, I think the coming of it all together, those first couple of shows. Yeah, really, really fun. And I guess just never gets old.
I love that. Love that. And literally, I was hearing Sondheim singing the minute you said putting it together. I was like, bit by bit, putting it together, you know. Sonia, what about you? What is your favorite part about working in the performing arts?
Yeah, I think similarly, I love the community and the collaboration aspect. It's so collaborative. It's such a collaborative art form. I love that with every show, you just get to work with an amazing group of wonderful people. Theater people are just the best. They're so great. So welcoming, so warm, so open. I love this community. And I think both, you know, what's cool on, you know, in musical theater writing is you get to collaborate from the start. Typically, you're often, you know, working with another writer and imagining a world and a show and a story together. And building on each other's ideas and coming up with something richer than you ever could have imagined all on your own. And then that, again, that process is continued when you get into a rehearsal room with a director, music director, and actors and so many other wonderful people. And you just continue to build on those ideas and create something magical together. And I think that is so exciting. And yeah, since you actually mentioned the Sitz Probe, that reminded me another wonderful program that Maestra has is called First Takes. And I was recently involved in that as a composer of a song that was included in an event through that program. And basically I and my writing collaborator were paired with a Maestro orchestrator and a music director and music assistant. And our song was fully orchestrated and then played by a band of maestros in an open rehearsal led by the music director. And it was just an amazing experience. As you said, that the magic of the Sitz Probe, where you just hear your song fully orchestrated, just come to life. It's just magical. And also, I'll say, as an early career composer, it's quite rare, you know, to get the chance to collaborate with an orchestrator and to get to hear your work fully orchestrated live in that way. So it was a very exciting and wonderful experience to have that. So
that is amazing. Wow. Congrats on that.
Thank you.
That is a beautiful answer as well. And a wonderful lead into my favorite question to ask guests, which is, what is your favorite theater memory?
I guess one that really comes to mind is when I was around 13 years old, I was in a production of Sunday in the Park with George as Louise. And it was just a really incredible, you know, cast that came. It's one of those sort of magical casts that really bonded and melded together. And it was one of my first professional productions. And I was, you know, the kid in the room. Everyone else is an adult. And I was like this, you know, precocious 13-year-old kid in there. And it's such a wonderful piece. You were talking about Sondheim. It's such a wonderful piece about making art and the process of making art. And I just remember the closing night of that show was incredibly emotional. And the person playing George was like full on just sobbing by the end. And you're like, they have this scene where you're like saying goodbye and everything is, you know, just playing a blank page or canvas. And that moment has always stuck with me. And again, it's just the magic of coming together in community with people and also making this thing that is then going to, that is, it's transient. It's then going to disappear. You come together for this very intense, beautiful experience to tell a story. And then it ends and you go off and you make other stories. And that's also very beautiful.
The wonderful memory. Thank you so much for sharing that. What about you, Yao? What's your favorite theater memory?
Probably my favorite was in college. I was a part of a production of Legally Blonde, and also just so purely fun. I'm usually not the biggest like adaptation from movie to musical kind of girl, but I think as far as they go, Legally Blonde just like hit it out of the park. I think it was just the most camaraderie I've ever felt in a pit. We're all still super close. Yeah, just like pure joy. And I think that's theater at its best, when everyone is just collaborating, coming together, enjoying the process, sharing, expressing themselves. So yeah, I think it was just a purely, purely fun process. And I think the one that I hold nearest to my heart.
I love that memory as well. Who doesn't love Legally Blonde is all I'm saying. That's just such a fun show. That you were absolutely right. Thank you both for those amazing memories. These were so wonderful. As we wrap things up here, I would love to know, do either of you have any other projects or productions coming on the pipeline that we might be able to plug?
I have a number of projects that are writing projects that are currently in development. I wish that I had, you know, an immediate reading coming up or something that I could plug here. But I am working on a few things. Let's see. And one I'll share about is a musical comedy called For Love or Funny that I'm writing with a wonderful collaborator named Meg Lochran. And that is inspired by the Three Stooges, but reimagined as women. So in the spirit of Maestra and uplifting women and non-binary folks, it is a show reimagining women getting to be at the center and also getting to be in comedic roles, which is another field which historically women have been underrepresented and not gotten to be in those roles. So
amazing. Yao, anything for you?
Yeah, so currently freelancing out and about around the city, but on the side, I also host a podcast called The Brass Ceiling. It's a play on the glass ceiling. And I was really active on it while I was on tour. It's been a bit of a hiatus since then, but I'm planning on doing a bit of a comeback. And it's basically just also an arts equity themed podcast that's interview format and also in the spirit of Maestra. And it was actually at the time of inception, heavily inspired by Maestra. It's a podcast where I interview primarily women and non-binary musicians and people in the musical theater space about their journeys in musical theater, in music, and also their personal journeys as a kind of minorities in the space. So definitely a passion project, and check it out. And hopefully some new episodes are on the horizon.
Amazing. Would love to check that out and follow along. That sounds incredible. And that leads to my final question, which is, if our listeners would like more information about Maestra Music or about the Amplify 2024 event, or of course about either of you, maybe they'd like to reach out to you. How can they do so?
Great question. So they can find out more about Maestra Music at maestramusic.org. There is a ton of information available on the website, a ton of resources you can check out. You can find out more about Amplify at maestramusic.org/amplify. If you would like, again, to be added to our direct notification list when the next round of Maestra Mentorship applications opens up in the fall, you can email us at mentorship@maestramusic.org. And then if you would like to find out more information about me personally and my work, you can go to www.soniahayden.com or @soniahayden11 on Instagram, the social medias. Yael, what about you?
Yeah, feel free to hit me up at yaelcohentrumpet.com or at yael.trumpet on Instagram. Would love to chat if you want to be on the brass ceiling, just want to chat in general. Yeah, that's where you can find me.
Wonderful. Well, Sonia, Yael, thank you too so much for stopping by today and sharing not only this great event coming up, but this amazing organization and all the good works that you two continue to do. Thank you so much. And thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you so much, Andrew. We really appreciate you having us.
Yeah, thank you for getting to chat.
My guests today have been the co-director of the mentorship program at Maestro Music, Sonia Hayden, as well as Grammy Award-winning trumpet player and mentor, Yael Cohen. They're both with Maestro Music, as I mentioned, who is presenting Amplify 2024, happening on March 25th at Sony Hall. And tickets and more information about this event are available at maestromusic.org/amplify. Also, be sure just to head to the website to check out all the amazing things that this organization is doing. You can find a way to sign up for mentorship. All of this is available at maestromusic.org. But make sure you get your tickets now to attend this wonderful event, Amplify 2024, happening March 25th at Sony Hall. So until next time, I'm Andrew Cortez, reminding you to turn off your cell phones, unwrap your candies,
and keep talking about the theater
in a stage whisper.
Thank you.
If you like what you hear, please leave a 5-star review, like, and subscribe.
You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at Stage Whisper Pod.
And feel free to reach out to us with your comments and personal stories at stagewhisperpod@gmail.com.
And be sure to check out our website for all things Stage Whisper and theater. You'll be able to find merchandise, tours, tickets, and more. Simply visit stagewhisperpod.com. Our theme song is Maniac by Jazzar. Other music on this episode provided by Jazzar and Billy Murray. You can also become a patron of our show by logging on to patreon.com/stagewhisperpod. There you will find all the information about our backstage pass as well as our tip jar. Thank you so much for your generosity. We could not do this show without you.
Broadway, Paris, where I don't care.